There is a reason Eve is referred to in the Bible as the mother of all living. Ever since her creation, we've all come into the world in the same way. We all owe our very physical existence to our mothers. And yet there's more to motherhood than simple biology. The best of us are the best of what we hope to have become because of good and godly mothers. And so for those of you mothers here and for the memory of mothers now since past, we are very hopeful for a very good and happy Mother's Day. If you would look at this young man, Timothy, that was referred to in our passage read just a moment ago, and remember that so much of New Testament history and so much of the early church is built upon the backs of men like Timothy. And if you then ask yourself the question, how did Timothy become Timothy? You might be inclined to think, well, it's because he was mentored by the Apostle Paul. And he was. Paul referred to Timothy as his own son in the faith. And yet Timothy was a great and godly young man when Paul first came acquainted with him. In the first part of Acts chapter 16, Paul goes into the area of Derbe and Lystra and finds this young man Timothy. His mother is mentioned there. And in the passage we just read, his grandmother, Lois, and his mother by name, Eunice, are referred to as those who had great faith themselves. And the sincere, the unfeigned, the unbridled faith that was so much a part of Lois, Timothy's grandmother, and Eunice, Timothy's mother, that same faith resided now in the heart of Timothy himself. Paul was able to build on that and create from that the tremendous evangelist that Timothy would become. But just remember, Timothy's start wasn't with Paul. It was with his grandmother and with his mother. As I mentioned, so much more of motherhood is that compressed down to just simple biology. So much of motherhood has to do with this idea of nurturing and building and encouraging. Abraham Lincoln once said, "All I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." Well, you'd be hard pressed to find anything that speaks more to what is in the hearts of so many of us as children of good and godly mothers than Lincoln's assessment. And so I'd like to spend just a few moments this morning in a personal way, but hopefully not too much so, with reflections upon those things I learned from my mother's lap. And I know going in, and I'll preface this next with this, I realize that I have an opportunity and a bit of blessing here that you don't. Because I'm standing here and you're listening and you're not standing here with me listening. And you might be thinking to yourself, and I'm with you, what right do you have to talk about your mother when I'd like to talk about mine? Well, I understand that. We all tend to think our mothers are the best. And so I understand that. And please understand also that what I'm about to share with you is not just about my own, because I think her story plays out so much in the stories of other mothers, and in perhaps your own upbringing. And all of what I'm about to suggest comes directly from what the Bible itself teaches. The best of everything I ever hoped to be is because of what I learned from my mother. It's true that most everything I've learned about preaching I learned from my father. But so much of what I learned about living came from my mother. And I think above everything else, the first thing that I remember learning from her from the very earliest times was a deep and abiding reverence for spiritual things. So lacking in the world at large, the culture writ large today, this idea of respect and reverence for that which is beyond the physical, that beyond the here and now, that beyond what satisfies me. There's a biblical idea of this reverence we have for the divine, seen in God the Father, Jesus Christ His Son, the Holy Spirit, the Bible itself, and the church of our Lord Jesus Christ, and those who comprise the Lord's church. My mother always spoke so highly and respectfully of all of that. And there's an importance in her respect for the Bible that is so foundational to everything else. Somebody might say, well, I learned about loving God from my mother. Well, I did too. But unless that love is founded in what the Bible teaches, you can go off the reservation fairly quickly with your idea of your God and my idea of my God. It has to center itself, this love for God, upon something of substance we all agree upon. And so, yes, I was taught, as many of you were, love for God, love for Jesus Christ, love for the church, but all of that was based upon a respect for the Word of God as our standard of authority, that from which we learn these things. And so as just a little boy, I remember sitting on my mother's lap and her reading to me from Bible story books and from the Bible itself. And she always took such care for the actual copy of the Bible itself. One of my earliest memories is a time when my dad, who preached in so many gospel meetings around, had worn out his Bible and needed to replace it with another Bible, which was the exact same Bible, with the exact same page numbers and pages and everything as the original Bible. But the difference was, he had almost every page with things underlined, things written down, notations made. And so it was my mother who took his old Bible and the new Bible, and for several months, page by page by page by page, carefully, carefully. And after she was finished, it was all done, I compared that Bible that she had put the notations in and the Bible that she had copied from that Dad had written in. And the new Bible was a lot better. Not only was it more legible, you could just see the care that she put into every word, every letter, every thought. It was not just because she loved my dad, and she did. She had tremendous respect for the Word of God, which refers to itself as the Word of God, alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword in Hebrews 4 and verse 12. A Word of God that describes itself as that inspired Word of God, which is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that makes the man of God perfect and thoroughly complete to every good work, in the last of 2 Timothy chapter 3. That Word of God which can keep ourselves from sin, Psalm 119. That same word which serves as a lamp to our feet, a light to our pathway, as that same 119th Psalm tells us. This Word of God meant so very much to her, and she implanted that respect for the Word of God in me. So much so that I've mentioned this to some of you before, but one of the huge conundrums I've dealt with in my lifetime is the question of what to do with an old Bible. Now, I know in a physical sense it's just a cover and some pages, and the real worth is not what is there, but what it says. And not just what it says, but what it means and what that means in the lives of those who read it. I realize that, but still there is a reverence for in my own mind, ingrained in my thinking from the very earliest years. So much so that I don't know what to do with an old Bible. Do you? You can't. I can't imagine throwing it in the trash. And I wouldn't burn the Bible. And so I've got a collection of Bibles that have built up over the years and just they never will be used again, but they're just kept, not knowing what for sure to do with them. And I've got my grandparents' Bibles and my dad's Bible and my mother's Bible and my old Bibles. And if you ever need an extra Bible that's pretty well worn out, we'll come and I'll let you borrow one. But plenty of Bibles. But and also, I took this way too far because I know Dad used to write in his, Mom copied his writings in his Bible that he replaced it with. Somehow I got this in my mind, and I don't even write in my Bible. And that's my fault, not yours, and my problem, not yours to copy or carry with you. But I just can't bring myself to write in the Bible for some reason. It's a peccadillo of my own. But all of this comes from the idea that I had from the very earliest. There is a tremendous respect we have for the Word of God. And it's something that the kids are supposed to learn from the earliest times. If I ask you, what's the first children's Bible song comes to mind? If you're of a certain age, you probably think, well, it's Jesus Loves Me. And think of the words of that simple song. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. The fact I know Jesus loves me is not just because I feel like he does, or I wished he would, or I hope he will. It is based upon what the Bible teaches. And because the Bible says what it does, I've got firm belief that Jesus loves me as he says he does. And that love for God's Word that was so impressed upon me, I hope is impressed upon you because it's certainly warranted from the worth of the Bible itself. It's nice to know things about the Bible. It's nice to read books concerning the Bible. It's nice to hear lessons concerning and about the Bible. But nothing beats the Bible itself. The text as it is, written for those of us as we are, understanding it as we're able, and thus changing us from one day to the next as we move from one page and section to the next. And so, yes, I learned about loving and respecting the Bible from primarily my mother. But then this next, I, like so many of you, I hope, I learned so much about kindness from my own mother. From the very earliest to the very latest moments of her consciousness, I remember this. If there were one word describing her, it'd be the word kind. Even toward the end, when she was dying with cancer in the hospital with so much pain, and they were afraid of giving too much morphine to have her life leave us too early, but yet not enough to keep her from the pain she had, and there was a give and take there for a while. And even with the most severe pain, still the smile on her face and the kindness for everything done, every gesture given, every word spoken, words of kindness in return. Because that's just the person she was. And that's what she expected those in her family to also implement themselves in their own lives. Kindness. It's something that is not nearly as common as it used to be. We used to talk about common courtesy. Don't hear that very often anymore because it's not so common anymore. As a world, as a people, as a culture, sometimes as the people of God, we've lost this idea of basic human kindness toward others. Just because we disagree doesn't give me the right to be ugly to you. Just because you've done me wrong doesn't give me the right to seek vengeance and do wrong to you. Just because you mean difficulty for me does not mean I repay in kind and have difficulty from me coming toward you. The Bible says, in Peter's words, be courteous. In the words of Paul in the last of Ephesians 4, be kind. And that's the first verse, by the way, our children learned when they were growing up. Now, you may have learned, all of us have our first verses we remember, and yours may have been, children, obey your parents in the Lord. That was right there close. And I remember my first verse I remembered was one my dad shared with me, a wise son makes a glad father. But the first one that our kids learned was that first part of the last verse of Ephesians chapter 4. Three simple words in the old King James. Be ye kind. Because I'll tell you, you start a life and you start a personality and you start a perspective of life based upon the idea of continual, daily, constant, abiding kindness towards others. You'll have the very best possible life you can have in this one. You'll have more friends. You'll have better, closer, more secure relationships. You'll have a stronger marriage. You'll build a better congregation. So much can be accomplished with just a bit of kindness. Little things like please and thank you go a long way. And the Bible teaches that, but I learned it not just from the Bible itself, but as the Bible played out in the life of my own mother, as I'm sure has been the case with many of you. And then also I think of what I learned from her along the lines of humility. The best people don't ever really believe or accept the fact of their own greatness. Those who think they're great, they usually aren't, at least in the sense of the pride that brings them down because of that fault. There is a lack in humility these days, just as there is a lack of kindness these days. We're taught that if you don't toot your horn, nobody's going to toot it for you. And so you need to look out for number one and publicize who you are and what you've done and all you've accomplished. When the Bible says pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. And so much of what we learn of Jesus is this idea of humility. I am meek and lowly in heart, he says in the Great Invitation in the last of Matthew chapter 11. Christ who came from heaven to earth and lived among us, and as Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And in the mix of those words, Paul says he humbled himself. He humbled himself. Well, Mother took passages like that to heart. I was amazed after her passing, hearing so many wonderful things and tributes about the life that she lived. But one of them that came out so often from so many other preachers' wives was this. Not just she was a good preacher's wife, but she was the best preacher's wife had ever known, and she was the model by which they gauged themselves. Well, if that be the case or not, that was up to them to decide. But I know this, Mom wouldn't have agreed. She did her best to stay out of the limelight. She was such a wonderful helper to my father, but she was never in the spotlight. And never wanted to be there, not because she was shy, but because she was humble. If credit were to be given, give it to somebody else. If somebody were to get notoriety for somebody else. It reminds me of something I read on a different subject, but the same tone and tenor of the subject sometime back, and reading about the biography of Paul Harvey. You know, without his wife, there wouldn't have been a Paul Harvey. Because all the script that he read with that mellifluous voice of his, that wonderful baritone that filled the airwaves, the script he read was written by his wife. Angel, as he talked to described her, that lived a life that was almost in such obscurity nobody knew she existed, in the shadows of Paul Harvey. Well, somewhat like that in the realm in which my parents lived. My mother was so much behind what my dad did and got credit for, but she was so very humble, didn't want any credit for anything, and she ingrained that in those of us children, so much so that she encouraged us. Yes, she did. She was always building us up, absolutely. If anybody believed in us, it was her. But if we started acting as if, she would bring us down real quickly and remind us that, no, you're not all that. Be humble. Because the Bible teaches that. Jesus teaches that. And our time is quickly passing, so I'll just give you one more thing I learned, as it were, from my mother's lap. And by the way, I use that this morning in the same way I believe Paul uses a reference in 2 Timothy 3, talking about Timothy, who from childhood, the actual original, from infancy, has known the Holy Scriptures. Well, how could he know it from that point? It's as if Paul is saying, you've always known it from the very beginning. And all these things I learned from as early as I can remember learning anything. But this last, I learned, and by the way, before we conclude this lesson, I again understand what you may be thinking. You may have learned it, but you didn't learn it very well. Well, that's true. When I mention sometimes to others, well, I learned, I was raised better than that. That's more than just a quip. In many cases, I was raised a lot better than I performed. But especially this last one. My mother taught me the value of listening. To do that, you have to quit talking. And there's my problem. To do that, you have to have a real interest in what you're listening to. And sometimes that's my problem. But if there's one thing that after she passed was said more than any other about it, and it was people from all walks in the church, out of the church, in the family, out of the family, close by, far away, that all say the same thing that I hadn't realized was true of me as well. And that was, she's the one person I could talk to that I always knew that she was listening and cared about what I was saying. Well, what better thing could be said of any of them? Like kindness, how do you build relationships? How do you build friendships? How do you build marriages? How do you build congregations if you're not willing to actually listen to what the other person is saying? The wise man Solomon talks about the folly of answering a matter before you hear it, which most of us, by the way, and not just most of you, most of us do on a regular basis. How many times in a conversation are we, rather than listening to what's being said, we're setting up for what we're about to say next? So much so that we sometimes interrupt what's being said with something completely unrelated that we want to say. And how rare are those people we come in contact with that will really take the time and show the interest to listen? Didn't James talk about in James chapter 1 being slow to speak, being slow to wrath, but then also being quick to hear? Listening to God, listening to others, listening. Having ears to hear, as Jesus put. Well, there's much more than this, but our time has passed. But just to give us all an idea, we learn so much from our mothers, and these things I've mentioned about myself, you perhaps have many other points for your own life, that you are what you are to a great degree because of these wonderful truths you learned, as it were, from your mother's lap. A book years ago that made the headlines and was read and quoted so often, Everything I Ever Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. Well, most of us have to admit, that was a starting place perhaps, but not the starting place. Most of what we learned was long before kindergarten. And a lot of it was learned from our own mothers. So again, mothers, happy Mother's Day. Perhaps you're here with us this morning and outside of Christ, don't leave that way, but give your life to Christ by obeying the gospel as the Bible teaches. And if you are a child of God but have wandered away, why not come back this morning? If you need to come, come now as together we stand and sing.